The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, I'm pretty sure you do not have some kind of cute little phrase in order for people to understand your last name. So when I had to introduce Jonathan Uzgadaki at the Convention of States rally back, was that June, Jonathan? When was it?
I believe
it was June. So it was June, and I'm looking at the guy's name on the program a couple weeks out. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to ask somebody on this one. Uzcategui. So you go figure that out. But then... actually, on your card, because Jonathan's actually doing a speaking tour around North Carolina right now, exposing the crimes of socialism, and he can speak into the subject because he was originally from Venezuela. So we have a lot of lessons to learn today via Jonathan's life. But on his card, it says, "Who's got the key?" And I thought that was rather considerate of you and kind and graceful that you're going to help all of us non-South American people who see that word and go, Uzcategui, or whatever we do to it. So I appreciate the fact that you did that. Jonathan Uzgadaki, here in the house, exposing the crimes of socialism. We've got a lot to talk about today. But Jonathan, good to see you. Thanks for coming in today. How you doing?
Thank you so much. Good. Thank you for having me here.
You're very welcome. So there's a lot to unpack here. Mm-hmm. All right. So we have an hour to do it. So we'll do the best that we can.
Yes,
but just so people kind of understand your paradigm and your perspective. Talk about just a quick timeline of I was born here, then I came to America, then I went back, and then I settled in America. It's just so people kind of understand where you're at timeline-wise, and then we're going to go back to growing up in Venezuela and Venezuelan history.
Okay, well, now, my name is Jonathan Uzcategui. If you have a problem pronouncing the last name, it's Who's Got the Key.
Right, that's pretty good.
I am an American citizen by choice, a Venezuelan by birth. I came to this great nation a little over 20 years ago. I believe I came the very first time. I was 18 when 20. I used to go back and forth. And finally, I couldn't go back because Chavez, when he got in power, he got a little – he told us he was going to be one person, but he ended up being somebody else. I believe he used something that Fidel Castro used one time in Cuba, that any Cubans that were in North America – I mean, in United States – will come to Cuba, he will not allow them to leave Cuba.
Right.
And he said the same thing to Venezuelans. Those that they live in the United States or in Europe, if they decide to come back, I'm not going to let them out. So I figured, well, that's the end for me to going back that way, and I never went back.
And isn't it interesting the difference between a country where you force people to stay versus a country where people will basically risk their lives to get there?
Exactly.
Yeah, so fascinating. So what was life like for you growing up in Venezuela? Just paint a picture of us so we kind of understand the context. Because Venezuela, and I want you to share Venezuelan history, because it started really on the heels of the American Republic.
Exactly.
And then was just, what'd you call it earlier? What used to be called what?
The Pearl of South America.
The Pearl of South America. And now we get Hugo Chavez, and then we get
Maduro.
What Venezuela is today.
Yes.
And we go, you want to see what happens with socialism and communism? Basically look to Venezuela. But it wasn't always that way.
Well, Venezuela, a lot of people don't know, it was one of the richest countries in South America. It was ranking 1 point number 4 as one of the richest countries in the world.
Wow.
A lot of people don't know that we were the first country that brought electricity to Latin America. we have more oil than Saudi Arabia. So, you know, some of these things, a lot of Venezuelans back in those days when we were like the Pearl, what they used to call Venezuelan, we used to have houses all over Europe, United States, and pretty much were like the second home for a lot of Venezuelans,
yeah.
Right? And now Venezuela is one of the poorest countries in the world. You know, with the inflation, I believe, the last time I checked, it was over 20,000.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy numbers that you can't even relate to.
Yeah, you cannot even comprehend how they even do things in Venezuela anymore.
Yeah.
Right? But I think it had to do with knowing your history, knowing exactly a lot of things in your country, to understand how things happen,
yeah.
And they keep happening. A lot of people don't know that Venezuela was a constitutional republic. We actually declare independent 35 years after the United States. We used to have three branches of government at one point. We have two major political parties also at one point. One was called Acción Democrática. That party represented the socialist liberals in Venezuela. And the other one was COPEI, that represented the conservative Christians in Venezuela.
Sounds
so
familiar.
I know, right? So the parallels are pretty similar. I tell people all the time, I watched this movie before in Spanish, and I'm watching it in English now.
Yeah. Wow.
So I know exactly how the movie's going to end if we don't do something about it.
So what was life like for you as a young boy growing up in Venezuela?
Well, I think it was a...
Because when were you born?
72.
72, okay.
Yes.
So through the 1970s and early 1980s, what was life like down there?
Well, actually, 73. I'm sorry. I'm really bad with numbers.
That's all right.
1970.
It's your birth year. You can do whatever you want to
I'm not really... Believe me, I'm not really with that. My wife always reminds me my birthday. Always, every year.
Yeah.
I don't even care about my birthday, to be honest with you. I don't care. I do. She's always every November, you know, it's your birthday today. I said, really? So growing up in Venezuela, it was great. I mean, my father was always, since I remember, a small business owner. My mother was a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
And we lived a very comfortable life. It was great. I had everything I wanted.
Yeah, everything was fine.
Everything was fine in Venezuela. Even when things were supposedly bad, it was always good to us.
Yeah.
I mean, I never saw myself in a situation that I had to do things that a lot of Venezuelans have to do now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I believe it had to do with politicians in Venezuela. They didn't know how to handle our economy. When you put people in power and they really don't understand how the business world works, I believe that's the biggest mistake you can have. See, I look at it, if you look deep into the Venezuelan economy, when we used to do really well, politicians tend to depend only on oil in Venezuela because we were, you know, at one point.
That was the cash cow.
Yeah, that was the cash, right? What did they do? They didn't invest in anything else. They should. I look at it right now. Venezuela should be the Abu Dhabi of South America.
Yeah.
The Taiwan of South America.
You better diversify.
Exactly. Like, having business point of view, we would have all the factories that you have in Taiwan in Venezuela.
Yeah, and that's the situation. We've seen that in America. We're talking to Jonathan Uzgadaki, who was Venezuelan by birth, American by choice. He's doing a tour around North Carolina exposing the crimes of socialism. We have a lot to learn, so listen carefully. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. One of the things I often say to my students, and I'm starting to teach again in 3 weeks, the week of August 22nd. So if you want a high school student or a mature eighth grader to learn civics, they don't need that. Or actually an accurate read on U.S. history. No, they don't need that. Or Christian ethics. No, they definitely don't need that. Then you can still check things out, what I've got going on teaching-wise. NobleUschool.com is the website. NobleU, like university, NobleUschool.com. But one of the things I tell my students all the time, and Jonathan Uzkadaki is here with me. He was born in Venezuela. He's American by choice. What I tell him all the time is, you guys have no perspective. Because you just grow up in America, which to a lot of places in the world is more like Disneyland. And until you leave this country, especially go to a third or fourth world country, you really don't have any perspective on what the rest of the world is like, what world history is like. You certainly don't know what life is like in Venezuela today versus what life was like in Venezuela when, Jonathan, you were a boy. And I tell him, get out of here as quick as you can, go to some really bad parts of the world, and go get your compass adjusted, because you do not know just how blessed you are living in this country. But for your perspective, you see us going down a road. We were talking on the break 10, 12 years ago when you're warning people, you're seeing these signs here in America. And they're like, oh, Jonathan, this isn't Venezuela.
Yes. A lot of people used to. I started kind of noticing. I'll tell you one thing. 12 years ago, I completely terminated my cable service because I started seeing the news. And a lot of TV shows were no longer actually entertaining me anymore. It was just a propaganda machine that I noticed. I like my wife and I, when we watch movies, I'm always ruining the movies because I'm always pointing, you know, things.
That's propaganda.
Yes, I always point things up. I said, this is an agenda. Mm-hmm. This is no longer, you know, just trying to entertain you. They're also trying to program us to, you know, to think in a way and get comfortable and complacent to not understand and see exactly what's going on. By the time these people come in with the final assault, everything is going to be normalized. You're going to feel like, well, I guess it's inedible.
Yeah.
You know, we just got to
just the way it is.
It's just the way it is. And then, you know, I started seeing things like this for so long in the 12 years that I just say, that I say, you know, I got to do something. And I started talking. People would push back. And then I kind of went and lived my life for a while. It was until the elections of Donald Trump that I saw something different. I said, you know, I think this guy is going to be able to fold and wake people up.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yep.
Honestly, he did.
That's right.
Hate him or love him.
You're right. That's right.
He did it.
He's a game changer.
He was the president needed for the time.
That's right.
I was pleased to see finally Americans wanted to get involved into politics.
And then you mentioned earlier one of the problems in Venezuela is they didn't diversify outside of oil, and they just kind of sat on it, and because you didn't have business-minded people, and you see what happens when you get a business-minded person in Washington, D.C. How old were you, Jonathan, the first time you came to America?
I think it was 18 or 19. I can't remember.
And what was that like for you?
It was good. I mean, it was not good in the way, like, crime. I just don't know how Venezuelans are doing these days. Back then, crime was bad.
It was bad down there.
It was back then. It was a, you know, it was a conflict when you started to see, and we have a lot of things happen when Chavez attended the first coup d'etat that was not successful. The first time I saw what a real insurrection.
Yes, an actual one.
An actual one when you saw it was a tank going through the El Palacio de Miraflores, like our White House.
Wow.
And you saw the presidential guards fighting Chavez rebels. And, you know, that was pretty scary.
Oh,
you know, planes flying, bombs throwing. It was, you know, it was pretty scary. You didn't know what was going to really happen the next day.
So the first time you come to America, what's your reaction? There's the America you heard about.
Yes.
And saw on the TV or whatever. Then there's the American experience.
See, I had the choice. I could have gone to Spain because I have family in Spain. Or come here. And then I decided to come here because in the moment I say, well, I can probably learn a different language. So that would be an advantage to have a different language. Just in Spain, all I was going to learn is the accent.
Right.
To speak like a Spaniard. But here would it be, well, I would learn a different language. And we always saw great things about America on TV. Like, America was the place to be.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, it's like the hottest thing. Still it is.
Yeah.
Right? So when I came here, I never forgot. I left the airport, and that was a beautiful, huge American flag. And to this day, that's one of the most shocking days of my life that I still remember. And I don't remember.
What did that say to you?
I knew right away, it's unbelievable, that I was in a very special place. Mm. It was immediately. You had this sensation that you were in a very special place. It was safe. It was clean. Mm. You know, my guard kind of went down a little bit.
Yeah.
And then remember going to the grocery stores that were like huge. Yeah. Open rows 24/7.
Rows,
cars everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it was just
the land of milk and honey, really.
Oh, my Lord. It was just
plenty.
It was just unbelievable.
Part of the country were you in, and how long were you here?
Well, I came the first time I went to Florida, and then I went to Atlanta, and then I started traveling pretty much in a lot of places in the United States.
Yeah.
I went to a lot of places to see which one was going to be the one that I was going to stay.
Yeah.
And then I went to Florida. I got married there, and my first wife brought me to North Carolina. And, you know, I stay. I like North Carolina. I think it's a great state.
It's a great state.
You know, have a little bit of everything. You get a little bit of snow in the winter.
Yeah, we get a little taste of all
exactly.
four seasons.
But then
yeah.
you can still go to where I'm now in Wilmington and be able to enjoy the beach.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty good.
So what, if if we look at Venezuela today, which is a total train wreck, how do you explain what happened there?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. Look, see, when United States, right, gather independent, they asked George Washington to become the king. He refused that idea. He became our first president for two terms. Venezuela went a different way. We allowed the generals to become the leaders of Venezuela. Into the earlier 60s, we finally got rid of our last general dictator, and his name was Marcos Perez Jimenez. And we started implementing that constitutional republic that our founding fathers gave us. But I believe the problem there is that we did something that I see is being done here. Conservatives. What does the conservatives always do? Make life for themselves, take care of their families, worship God, open business, and stay away from politics.
Yeah. Conservatives by nature are, I'm going to take care of me, myself, and I.
Exactly.
My family, my business, exactly. Because I don't want this big government encroachment in my life. I just want to leave me alone. Let me do my thing.
We are individual thinkers.
Yes, individual thinkers. That's right.
See, and I believe that was the biggest mistake, but who would know in the moment, right? So we allow the liberals, the other side, to take over everything because they do. They are collectible thinkers.
Yep.
And they're like, the whole purpose in life, the way that these people are wired, is to control your life.
That's exactly right. Yeah, hold that thought because we're coming up on a break talking to Jonathan Uskadaki, who was born in Venezuela, American by choice, an important perspective for all of us to listen to, especially as we move down this road for Jonathan to share with us what he sees happening in America today, because it's very similar to what happened in Venezuela yesterday, and we know now how that turned out. Do you want America to look the same?
It does. You bring hope to me and my family. My nation.
Yeah, such a good one. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Easy to remember Jonathan's wife's name. It's Hope. Jonathan's last name is Uskadaki, which is Venezuelan. So he was born Venezuelan. He's American by choice.
But the last name is from Czechoslovakia.
Czechoslovakia. All right. Yeah, you explained this to me at the Convention of States. Yes. Now you're going to have to explain it again because now I'm totally confused once more.
No, it's okay. Well, my family originally is from Spain, and they immigrated to, you know, Venezuela, and that's where we got the name from. You know, it's just it's a European last name.
So Czechoslovakia to Spain to
Venezuela. Spain, you know, from the areas of Spain, and then Venezuela. See, a lot of people don't know. They think it's in Spanish, like a Latino or South America last name. Nah, I really don't like to get into it.
Well, us Americans are pretty.
No, I just, you know,
myopic.
I mean, if they ask me, we go through the history of the last name. Yeah. But if they never ask me, I never really.
Yeah, but when you say it, it sounds very Latino, Spanish, Central American. When I say it, it just sounds wrong. So no, anyway.
You did a great job.
It's great to have you here. And Jonathan's speaking around the state. And do you have a website yet? You need to get a website up and running.
Yes,
start doing all that stuff. He's looking at Hope. Which is what all of us guys do. We look to our better.
You have a very any strong man always have to have a great woman behind.
That's right. Otherwise, you're handicapped.
Exactly.
So I totally understand.
JU4NC.com.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Simple. JU, as in Jonathan Uskadaki.
Yes.
4NC.com. That's the number 4. All right. I'll pull that up and I'll share it on Facebook so all you guys can get that as well.
Thank you.
So now traveling around the state and talking about exposing the crimes of socialism, we were talking about the first time you came to America, and it was just kind of mind-boggling because there's so much opportunity. You felt safer. You felt more relaxed because things were more settled and safer and
safer,
food and cars,
cleaner
stuff everywhere.
The air was cleaner. Everything was beautiful. It's just like, you know, I knew right away that I was in a very, very special place.
Yeah.
You know, I got to learn and be safe also in this country. I got to know who Jesus Christ was when I came to the United States. And, you know, it's just been nothing but blessings. I opened many successful businesses.
Who kind of dropped the Jesus bomb on you? Did you grow up Catholic or how'd you grow up down in Venezuela?
I grew up Catholic in Venezuela, but
Who's this good-looking guy? All right, there it is. It's JU4NC.com. You'll see Jonathan smiling right at you on the homepage. JU4NC.com. I'll share this on Facebook right now so you guys can jump over there as well. And then if you want to get Jonathan to come share this story in your town or your club or your church or your Republican club, whatever it is, go to the website, right, and they can contact you there.
Yeah, we're going to churches.
So the Jesus thing. Who dropped that bomb on you?
Well, no, I remember.
Because I'm a Jesus freak. You know that.
No, I mean, like I said, growing up in Venezuela, you know, you grew up in a Catholic church.
Yeah.
And, you know, you know who Jesus was, but it was just different when I came here. Somebody brought me to a church one time, and I started understanding more what it was like to be saved, you know. And, and I think that was one of the greatest things. And I think it's also one of the things that we probably were missing in Venezuela, mm-hmm. not to know Jesus and the level that this country show you.
Yeah.
I believe that's one of the reasons this country is so blessed, because Christ, our Lord and Savior, put this great,
yeah, blessed it.
It's you know, country in the world. That's where everybody wants to come here.
Yeah.
Because we're blessed. It's a privilege just to be born in this country.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I grew up in kind of mushy Protestant churches. My mm-hmm. wife, who's Italian, grew up in Catholic churches.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of us knew what actually the Bible taught about who mm-hmm. goes to heaven and who doesn't. So we had religion, and we knew of Jesus, but we didn't know Jesus. Mm-hmm. Somebody can say, hey, did you hear this Jonathan guy on Steve's show? Yeah, you can know about Jonathan, but you don't know Jonathan. And that's the difference between religion and relationship, mm-hmm. which is you find religion a lot around the world.
A lot of religion.
But America has been on the forefront of actually teaching the gospel. And the number one missionary sending base
Amen.
In the world and all that. I mean,
yes.
just amazing stuff. So Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of take us down the process of how it's imploded and gotten to the point where it is now, because then we're going to translate into that, into what you see happening here in America.
Well, I think it's like I said earlier in the beginning, when we conservatives finally got rid of our last dictator, we start implementing all this republic, this constitutional republic, start having democratic elections. We conservatives did what we did. Like I said earlier, best. Stay away from politics. We allow the left to take over everything. The first thing the left does is take over our education system.
Yes, 100 right? years ago here in America.
And that's the same thing that I see they're doing here. The education system in Venezuela started producing, you know, think about professors, lawyers, architects, engineers. All these people has, when they become those lawyers and those professionals, have a position and leader.
They start steering the ship.
Exactly. So they're no longer, you know, when you have a professor, that he's the one teaching your future educators.
Yeah, that's right.
All those things that person is going to pass. When you have a lawyer, they become an attorney general, district attorney, a judge, and politic, and, you know, politician in every level. They're going to bring their agenda.
That's right.
They're going to be put in a position of power and leadership. They're going to be the ones mobilizing people to do things that you're going to believe that.
Because you said that before the break, that the liberals are very good at groupthink.
They are.
They're very much the collective.
Mm-hmm. They're collectible thinkers.
And because they're not bowing the knee, like mm-hmm. you were talking about from a Christian perspective, government becomes God. And you definitely want to control all that. And then in their delusion, they actually think they're saving everybody.
Exactly.
By implementing their view.
Well, I tell you one thing. And I tell people all the time, for these socialists, right, for this Marxist, socialism is a religion.
That's right. Exactly.
And Almighty God is the government.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they always, always try to make sure that you believe in their ideas, like, we Christians believe in God.
Right, because that's the answer to them.
Exactly. To them, it's the answer. The bigger government,
they
feel that that's who's going to protect them. We conservatives tend to small government, more freedoms. So that in Venezuela, that's what we have. We have, you know, the left completely taking. Look, I was in a military school. I never forgot one time a teacher came in. He was a math teacher. And he started talking about, and I don't remember a lot of stuff from my past, because you kind of try to block all the bad things and just focus on, I'm not a person that I kept myself whole into my past.
Yeah,
I like to think about the present and the future, you know, because if you focus on your present, it's more likely mm-hmm. you're going to have a great future. But never forget things in the bad, but there are some things that I tried to completely block. I never forgot this teacher came into the classroom, and he started talking about that for every Venezuelan was born, we should be getting a million believer. That was the name of the currency back then in Venezuela. Wow. So in my time, I still remember, I'm thinking about, where's my money? That's all I can think about.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I moved to the United States that I have these epiphanies. And I go, wow, they were teaching us entitlement.
Yeah, that's right.
The government should take care of us.
Yeah, and you're owed that.
Yes. And there's a lot of things like that you don't notice because the left is so powerful in South America.
Yeah.
Like when I started understanding politics in the United States, I started understanding. That's where today I am involved into politics. Because the left is not only strong in South America and in Europe, it's also very strong in the United States of America.
Yeah, and you know better than most.
Yes.
Because you know what it smells like.
I recognize these people. When I see them, I can smell them.
Yeah.
I know exactly how even people, the so-called themselves conservative, are liberals.
Yeah.
In this country.
That's right.
And they're the worst ones because they're the ones that infiltrate our side.
No, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Exactly. Yeah. Those wolf in sheep's clothing.
Well, you said it earlier, like when you mentioned education. Government is downstream from all that stuff. So the progressives and the liberals who started in the late 1800s, just taking over the whole educational system, then all that stuff works its way into the rest of the culture.
Exactly.
Which eventually all those leaders then, like yourself, I need to get into politics and I want to see America go in the right direction. They're just so twisted in their worldview, but that's what they've done. So they have now, they've infected the whole system.
Exactly.
So you got a whole lot of young people that think like a progressive and like a liberal, don't really know how they got there.
Mm-hmm.
Parents don't know how they got
education
there, but they were inculcated. They were indoctrinated over the course of, 12 years, kindergarten through 12th grade. And then college makes it all
exactly.
The worse.
Well, the thing is to me, it was like this, right? I never wanted. I was just a citizen that I was just leaving when I came here. My American dream.
Yeah.
I have a very successful business. I had no business doing what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, you're fine. Just take care of yourself.
Yeah. If a communism ever come to the United States, I will be okay. I grew up in a third world country. Mm-hmm. I understand what it's like. But I owe this nation something. This nation took me. I became an American citizen. When I became an American citizen, like I was telling you, I took an oath to protect this nation for foreign and domestic threat. And I will lay my life for this country.
Yeah.
I cannot be a bystander and allow these Marxists, communists, take overrun this country. People in this country need to understand that we're standing in the last domino of freedom.
Yeah, that's right.
In the world.
Yeah, we're at a crossroads. And this you can either sit on the sidelines and watch the Titanic go down.
Exactly.
Or you can engage. Hold that thought right there. Talking to Jonathan Uzkotaki, who's just telling us the truth. Telling us the truth. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. JU4NC.com is the website I want you to check out as soon as you can. JU, the letter JU, for the number 4NC.com, JU4NC.com. That's the website for Jonathan Uzkotaki, who was born in Venezuela, but he's American by choice. And I wanted to ask you, and then I want to talk about the biggest things that you're concerned about here in America that are so obvious to you coming out of the history of a country that went down the same road as America for a while, like our founding fathers. You had founding fathers. They did all the right things, and then the thing's gone completely south, completely socialist and dead broke, and now you've got just mass carnage everywhere in Venezuela, and you see that obviously as the writing on the wall for us. But the day you became an American citizen, what was that like for you?
Well, like I say, it was one of the greatest things ever happened to me in my life. I feel special. Mm. I felt like you said earlier, I was, what do you say, knighted?
Yeah, like knighted. You're
like
being knighted by the king. He drops,
yes,
that sword on your shoulder. Now you can come to the round table.
See, this is what people don't understand. You can go to China, you can go to Venezuela, you can go to Cuba, you can go to anywhere else in these countries and live there and become a citizen of that country.
Yeah.
But they will never call you Cuban, Venezuelan, or anything. But this is the only country in the world when you become an American citizen, they call you American.
I'm an American.
I am an American.
Yeah.
So I am very proud to say that. So that's something that I believe we take for granted. Mm-hmm. We take for granted that we live in one of the greatest countries in the world. And we need to understand that the freedoms are not free.
That's right.
We always have to fight for freedoms, because the moment we lose freedoms, it will always be hard to get them back.
Oh, and a lot of times you can't.
Yes. Well, I tell people all the time, look, we need to understand what we're fighting, who we're fighting here. We're fighting the United States going right now through a Marxist cultural revolution.
That's right.
They understand in the 21st century, there's no way they can take a country, especially the United States, by force. So they have to do it through culture and education. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like they did it to us.
Yep.
We implemented the old cultural revolution, mm-hmm. where the rich man was getting rich and the poor man was getting poor by Hugo Chavez. That's how he came to rise to power. But people in this country don't understand. The wealthy, the professionals, the elite in Venezuela were the ones that put Hugo Chavez in power.
Yeah.
Who do you think is trying to bring socialism, communism to the United States?
The elite.
The elite, the wealthy. Those ones that went to college one day to become your lawyers are your judges, your attorney general, your district attorney, politicians on all levels of government. Those that went to school to study financial are right now sitting in over 100 corporations that pushing Marxist ideology for the very first time. I heard in Venezuela, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Oh, man.
The very first time I heard about these things, but it's by Hugo Chavez. So I cannot, it's out of my comprehension to understand how in the world. But it was because in those colleges, you have all these kids that one day became your executive and the CEO of these corporations. And we were sleeping. We were not paying attention. This was what happened right in front of us. That's the reason why I decide I can no longer be a bystander. And I have to get in the fight. Because if I don't get in the fight, like I told you earlier, I watched this movie before. I'm watching it in English, and I know how the movie is going to end if I don't do something about it. What is the first thing that Hugo Chavez does when he comes to power? He went and took the Constitution.
Yep.
He got rid of our Constitution because he said our Constitution was too old and it was racist. Who always had the
Where have I heard that before?
Well, you heard it before.
Like in the last couple of days.
And not in a couple of days. It's been happening for a while.
Yeah.
But we just don't pay attention because we think that can never happen.
Well,
here.
Like people you spoke to 10, 12 years ago,
yes.
Jonathan, they're like, that's Venezuela.
Okay.
That can't happen here.
So when
but
it
is.
When I saw that, I went, check.
Yeah.
What is the next thing that Hugo Chavez did? He nationalized the police. Let me tell you something. We see a problem in this country. It's called defund the police.
Yeah.
What do you think that is for? The reason they're doing this, and I want to invite every one of your listeners in what county they live to see what's really going on with crime rising up. And your local police are asking the federal government for help.
Yeah.
You will see compromised politicians coming and saying in order to end systemic racism, police brutality, and gun violence, we need to nationalize the police. What did the Hugo Chavez ask after that? He gave us gun control.
There you go. Yeah, you can't have an armed citizenry.
Exactly. What did he do right after that? Gun buyback programs.
Wow.
After that, what do you think he does? Gun confiscation. So we lost the right to bear arms. A BB gun and a paintball is illegal in Venezuela.
Wow.
But did you know who got all the guns? The criminals.
That's right.
Because the criminals never pull a permit to buy a gun. You can go to Caracas, Venezuela right now and you can find RPGs and automatic weapons when guns are illegal in Venezuela. What do you think is going to happen here with gun controls and all these things?
That's exactly what they
always are. Affect law-abiding citizens.
That's right, always.
I tell people all the time, the reason you see the crime rising up, and when I started my speaking tour, it was in January. I was telling people we had 19 states in the union. They already passed red flag law.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with that, that's gun confiscation 101. Now that it's been pushed, and I said it before, you will have compromised politicians coming together with the other side and give us gun control.
Mm-hmm.
Why? because they understand that in order to bring tyranny in full control of our country is by disarming the nation. Yeah. I gotta tell you something. We need to start ripping these labels that I see the Marxists have given to us. When you hear something that I learned when I came to this country, the silent majority.
Yeah.
That was the lefty that gave you that name. It was not a conservative that came and say, yeah, oh, we are the majority. Let's just keep it silent and let the minority group of people run over us. We need to start ripping these labels. We are the majority. We need to become a law majority.
Yeah.
Things that I always hear around here, oh, you vote your way into socialism and you fight your way out. I don't think so. That's an scam that's running into the American people. Yeah. When you vote your way into socialism, the guns are not going to be there.
That's right.
So how are you going to shoot your way out of that?
Yeah, you can't.
So this is something that, you know, everywhere I go, I start having this conversation with people. We need to wake up. We need to understand that we cannot allow this to keep happening. Look at what I saw growing up, and it's already here. And every level of government, from the local, state, federal, and all the major corporations, they're pushing the diversity, the equity, and inclusion. This is Marxist ideologies. We, the taxpayer, are paying for these things. We're paying for us to be completely taken over by the socialists, by the communists.
Well, one thing, and I'm going to ask you because we only have a couple minutes left. What can the average person do? We're both followers of Christ. We must be praying for those, not only those in authority over us, but for people to engage the system, for the love of neighbor and the love of God. What can the average person do? Because we see this now happening like in the local school board races. I've had several people come in. I've got a lot more people coming in. These are regular people that got to the point, and thank God for Loudoun County, Virginia, that people are all saying, okay, I had no idea this was going on in my backyard, and this stuff's happening with our children and my neighbor's children. I can't do nothing, so I'm going to engage. But we have to do that all up and down the ballot. So what can the average person do, Jonathan? Because you're stepping up to the plate.
I tell you, do what I'm doing. Do what you're doing. The activism is something that we have. They told us that it's only for the liberals. No. Activism is very important to be able for us to save our community. Yeah. We have to get involved. We can no longer be that society that we just stay peaceful and just lay back and let our politicians to do everything. No, politicians don't have the answer.
That's right.
We, the people, have the answer. We, the people, have to start holding these politicians that we put in office accountable for what they're doing.
Yeah, you have to be loud. You have to be present.
Exactly. We have to have a pressing. We have to get involved into the community. The key and the answer here start in the local level. They've been brainwashing this country for so long that it's a midterm and the presidential elections. They're going to answer all your questions. That's not the truth. Let me tell you how to take your country back. Get involved in your local level. Real politics begin there.
That's right.
Those policies, that politics in the local level affect you on a daily basis. We start there. Local action, local engagement.
Well, you've mentioned DAs so many times in the show today. And George Soros knew that 30 years ago.
Why do you think he's doing that?
They've impacted everything from the bottom up, starting in kindergarten.
Well, that's what they want right now.
And the whole political system, but especially locally, where it doesn't cost that much to get involved.
But that's who oversees your election, the county.
Yeah.
The city can be involved into all these things. Who is going to be in charge of the education of your kids? The school board of education.
That's right.
Who is in charge of the law, the biggest person in charge of the law in your county, the sheriff? This is how it's happening. But we just don't know because we need to get educated things. As the local government, let's take our local government, and then we take the state, and the federal will be easy to take back.
That's right.
Because the federal doesn't have any power to say over us. We can always become a sanctuary city, a sanctuary state, a sanctuary county, and say no to the federal government.
Right.
But they know, politicians know, that we're not well-educated in these issues.
That's right.
We have a job here. You have a job. I have a job to make sure that we go and start waking these communities and make them feel emboldened to take our country back.
Amen. And that's why when they say you're the silent majority, don't buy that.
No more.
Because you cannot be silent, because that's how we got to this position. in the first place. Jonathan Uzgodicki, come back again. Let's do this again. Okay,
yes,
well, I want to continue this conversation. Jonathan's website, you need to bring him to your club, your church, whatever group you're in to help you get inspired to listen to somebody that's got a perspective that most of us don't. JU4NC.com is his website. JU4NC.com. Jonathan, we'll have you back on, but God bless you, brother. Thanks for coming.
Thank you
today.
So much.
You're
God bless welcome. You. God bless us. Great state of North Carolina.
This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.